welcome to the Mass Device Fast Five MedTech News Podcast, the show that keeps you up to date on the latest breakthroughs in medical technology with the top five news stories to get your day started. I'm your host, Executive Editor Chris Newmarker, filling in for Senior Editor Danielle Kirsch this week. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Associate Editor Sean Hooley. Sean, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we've got quite a bit of big news. We've got real-world data from Abbott on the use of CGM with GLP-1s. We have Gradients pulmonary denervation technology trial that's just begun. We have Orthofix's fourth quarter financial results, ResMed's brand new mask for sleep apnea treatment, and the first FDA-cleared over-the-counter CGM from Dexcom. So a lot to dive into.
Wow. So what's the first story we'll discuss today?
Abbott reported some positive real-world data on the use of its CGM with GLP-1s. We've talked about GLP-1s a ton, both on the show and then just around. The day-to-day world seems to be always talking about them, so it's always interesting to see how they are impacting the medtech world.
Just for anybody who's come back from a sabbatical in the woods for a year, I mean, what are GLP-1s?
Yeah, so those GLP-1 receptor agonists like Ozempic and Wegovy are some of the brands that you may know, provide therapy for diabetes and weight loss. So it's a glucagon-like peptide 1 therapeutic class of drug that proves to lead to improved blood sugar control and weight loss. It obviously continues to grow in popularity, including with prescriptions for type 2 diabetes that are increasing. Last year, we've done some coverage. BTIG analysts spoke with an expert to determine the potential impact of GLP-1s on the diabetes market. We saw some potential boost actually for CGMs, which is interesting along with this data from Abbott. Abbott's already shared real-world data highlighting GLP-1s as a potential accelerator. So it's always interesting to see more on this front.
It was interesting because when a lot of the positive data came out about GLP-1s last year, I mean, we saw medtech stocks take a real hit. And, since then, they've recovered a lot. Investors seem to have settled down about this. But companies like Abbott and Dexcom have been making some strong arguments that, I mean, GLP-1s actually are a good thing for their business. I mean, like, explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. So, the data backs it up, basically, is what Abbott's saying. So one study showed a significant improvement in HbA1c at 6 months after adding FreeStyle Libre to GLP-1 treatment. This was irrespective of GLP-1 duration, GLP-1 type, or insulin therapy type. So clearly a broad range of people that could be potentially positively impacted. The other study showed a greater HbA1c reduction when using GLP-1 and Libre together compared to GLP-1 alone, using data from a cohort on GLP-1 only and those on GLP-1 and Libre therapies. So certainly some positives from this real world analysis from Abbott.
Yeah, so I suspect Abbott executives were happy with these study results.
It appears that way. And Dr. Mahmoud Kazemi, the chief medical officer for Abbott's diabetes care business, said that this type of complementary relationship is actually not uncommon in diabetes care treatment. And similar to pairing with insulin therapy, FreeStyle Libre is a beneficial companion to GLP-1, providing the real-time data that people with diabetes can use to make positive behavior changes and navigate their GLP-1 usage safely.
Well, all right. Well, what do we got next?
Gradient began a U.S. trial for its pulmonary denervation technology. Obviously, we've talked quite a bit about renal denervation, and this is slightly different, also for hypertension, but in a different way. And it's a quite interesting thing, obviously, with all the news on ReCor and Medtronic and their renal denervation journeys. We have more denervation technology on the way, it seems.
Yeah. So what's the study evaluating?
So the PREVAIL PH2 study looks at Gradient's minimally invasive ultrasound-based device for treating pulmonary tension with associated heart failure. It's enrolling patients with pulmonary hypertension due to left-sided heart disease. Interestingly, according to Gradient, there is no approved drug or device therapy that exists for this particular group of pulmonary hypertension patients, despite, as I mentioned, the Medtronic and ReCor approvals earlier this year and last year. But it differs from renal denervation that we've covered at length, of course.
Yeah, I mean, tell me more. Tell me more about what is this technology? What is pulmonary denervation technology?
So it's a catheter-based system that Gradient designed to ablate nerves around the pulmonary artery using therapeutic ultrasound energy. The company says that it downregulates the sympathetic nervous system's input into the pulmonary vascular tree, which in turn reduces vascular resistance and lowers pulmonary pressures.
That's fascinating. So just potentially another option to treat hypertension, which can just be drug resistant and just really hard to treat. What did Gradient's CEO have to say about this study kicking off?
Martin Grass, the Gradient CEO, said the company is thrilled to initiate the study and bring the technology to patients in the US, and the company looks forward to continuing to work with the FDA and clinical partners as they enroll the study.
Sounds great. Well, all right. What's story number three here?
OrthoFix posted street-beating fourth quarter results, and analysts are actually liking the direction of the company right now.
You know, it's been a wild year over there. I mean, like, remind everybody about some of the history here.
Yeah, well, just over a year ago, the company completed its massive merger with SeaSpine, and all sort of looked positive on the horizon. You have this already two big orthopedic companies combining to create, one giant. But of course, what ended up happening was last September, we reported on the firing of three executives, including the CEO, with cause due to improper conduct. That actually led to the appointment of Massimo Calafiore and some changes at the top, including a recent appointment of a new president of bone growth therapies. So yeah, it's just been up and down, obviously. And now, the company's just trying to sort of straighten things out.
I mean, so what were some of the key figures people should be taking away from the report out today?
I'd say most importantly, results beat Wall Street expectations with earnings per share of 3 cents, topping projections of losses per share of 8 cents. Sales of more than $200 million beat expectations of $195 million, and all segments grew in sales as well as the company had an overall sales uptick of 64% year over year. So certainly some improvements from OrthoFix.
Did their guidance look pretty good?
Yeah, so the guidance actually came in below consensus estimates, according to analysts, but otherwise the outlook was fairly positive. They said that the below consensus guidance is usually not a good thing, but they believe in the context of the new management and a depressed stock value. So this is just the first step needed. The analysts say that OrthoFix just needs to reset the numbers and then go execute above and beyond.
Let's move on. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, ResMed launched a new face mask for sleep apnea patients. Obviously, we've covered a recall related to this. We'll dig into that a little bit more, I believe. But yeah, this is obviously a big launch just on the surface, and then there's a lot more beneath it that makes it even more important for ResMed.
Yeah, tell everyone more about this new mask.
So it's called the AirFit F40, designed to offer the comfort of smaller masks without sacrificing performance. So this could help with sleep apnea therapy compliance for users of high pressure continuous positive airway pressure, CPAP treatment. ResMed said the mask addresses the issues that come with necessary pressure support, but in a more comfortable, low profile way that makes it ideal for those who sleep on their side, are claustrophobic, and want the stability and seal of a universal fit mask, but in a minimalist design.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, that sounds good for somebody who's got something strapped on their face all night while they're sleeping. I mean, what features stood out to you as you were writing about the new mask?
Yeah, well, the company said that the key feature is actually what it calls the Adapt-A-Seal cushion, which has a 100% soft silicone material for maintaining a facial seal. It remains sealed even when moving around during sleep. So, like you said, for sleeping with something attached to your face, you want it to be as comfortable as possible. But also, the mask has a fully flexible frame for keeping the assembly away from the eyes and ears, a quick release short tube that reduces tube drag and offers a convenient way to detach and reattach during the night, headgear with no top strap adjustment for easier setup and adjustment, and new textile material and color that just offers a more modern look, so it even looks good even if you're sleeping in the dark.
You look a little better if, like, somebody in the room turns on the lights. So, as we just referenced before, I mean, there have been, some serious, I mean, this is also significant because there have been some serious recalls, around CPAP masks, both at ResMed as well as at competitive Philips, which still remains pretty much knocked out of that market, anyway, because of just like a host of recall problems. But I mean, tell everyone a little bit about like kind of the challenges that we've seen around CPAP masks.
Yeah, obviously this new design comes at the right time because just in January, the FDA deemed a voluntary recall of millions of ResMed CPAP mask magnets as class one, which is the most serious kind that the FDA can determine. That came after a warning over potential magnetic interference when magnets go near certain implants and medical devices in the body, which obviously we talk about MRI compatibility for some of those implants, and having magnets that are so strong that they actually trigger these devices and cause issues is a big deal. So with this new mask, potentially ResMed can keep pushing forward in the CPAP market, in which it now holds a larger share, thanks to, as you mentioned, Philips' ongoing recall woes.
Good to see like some technology moving beyond these, recalls that we've been seeing. So, what's our final story for the day?
The FDA has cleared the first over-the-counter CGM with Dexcom's Stelo system getting the nod. This is obviously massive news in the diabetes space, a bit surprising news, and it could really potentially change sort of the scope of the entire CGM market.
Can you walk us through what is the Stelo, and why is Dexcom bringing it to the market?
Yeah, so Stelo was designed specifically for people with type 2 diabetes who don't use insulin. Dexcom only unveiled this device, announced that it was submitting it to the FDA a couple months ago, so this regulatory process went very quickly. Dexcom estimates that approximately 25 million people in the US with type 2 diabetes who don't use insulin could benefit from CGM use. So the small wearable sensor is indicated for people 18 years and older not using insulin. Like the other Dexcom systems, it's built on the G7 platform, but it's worn on the back of the arm, provides insights directly to a smartphone, and has a 15-day wear time, which is the longest wear time that Dexcom offers, a software experience tailored specifically for non-insulin users. And yeah, the company expects to have Stelo available for purchase online without a prescription beginning in the summer.
Both Dexcom and the FDA have seemed pretty pleased with this development, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big enough deal that the FDA put out its own press release to announce that it had cleared the first of its kind device. So first FDA CDRH director, Dr. Jeff Shuren, highlighted the importance of CGMs for their purpose of measuring and monitoring blood glucose, saying that CGMs can be a powerful tool to help monitor blood glucose. And the clearance expands access to those devices by allowing individuals to purchase a CGM without the involvement of a healthcare provider at all. Now, Jake Leach, EVP and COO at Dexcom, said that Dexcom, with this clearance, continues to lead innovation in the CGM market, putting this on as the latest on a long list of first in market advances.
How excited were the analysts about this?
Yeah, BTIG analysts Marie Thibault and Sam Iber were actually surprised by this announcement because it A came in well ahead of their expected timeline, although launch plans for the summer remain the same, so the timeline is still relatively intact. But the over-the-counter element actually came as a surprise because Dexcom had previously expected to offer this as a cash pay option that required a prescription. So yeah, the over-the-counter element is clearly the biggest asset to this device and also the greatest surprise of this announcement. And now they think that because of this, Dexcom can exceed their revenue targets because of the broader over-the-counter access. They called this an underappreciated opportunity. So clearly a big win for Dexcom.
Yeah, and I can see investors are excited about this too. Stock up more than, 7% as we're talking. Well, that's all we have today. Thank you, Sean, for sharing today's news with us.
My pleasure. As always, read more on the Mass Device website and check out the show notes at massdevice.com/podcast.
You can also connect with us online as well. I'm on LinkedIn at Chris Newmarker, just like a new marker. What about you, Sean?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Sean, Sean, Hooley, Whooley.
And subscribe to the Mass Device Fast Five wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode. Join us tomorrow for your daily MedTech news roundup. Thank you for listening.